recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle!
Football is on the horizon. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel kicking it around for the next hour, getting you prepared for NFL action week number 16. A lot of news and notes to get into. Taylor Heinicke off the COVID list. He will start this Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. Remember, Heinicke did get the start a couple of weeks ago. Dallas won that matchup 27-20. Now the Cowboys instilled early on as a 10-point favorite over the Washington football team. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, the starting quarterback, came out and said this team is focused. There's a lot to get done in terms of the Cincinnati Bengals playoff hopes. But, Scott, he attributed it to the lack of nightlife in Cincinnati. Gotta love Joe Burrow, right? He's blunt, he's cool hand Luke, and more importantly, leading this team to an 8-6 record, but more importantly, cashing tickets along the way.
And let's not forget which genius suggested taking the Bengals 2-3 weeks into the season at 30+1 to win the AFC North. That
not
would be true.
Oh yes.
I gave the Dolphins out at 36-1.
You did.
And the Bengals in game live, not necessarily in this show, but in game live week 3 or 4. I said, you know what, with the Pittsburgh being bad and the Browns being the Browns, I didn't buy into Baltimore. I said, the Bengals, listen, they're out of team. They're out of course. They got a good running back, good wide receiver, good quarterback. So anyway, hopefully it all come to fruition. But yeah, not exactly making friends in Cincinnati, right, by saying nightlife is boring there. But you know what, that's okay. If that's the truth, that's the truth. So because generally people will find trouble if they want to be in trouble. So Cincinnati,
exactly.
You know, and listen, all the mental midgets that have been on Cincinnati, right, whether it's Pac-Man Jones and all the other bird brains they've had on that team, isn't it nice to be on the other side of things, Cincinnati, where you can say your guys are choir boys versus, villains?
Well, that's the biggest thing about Joe Burrow. He knows the state of Ohio very well. He started his career with Urban Meyer with the Ohio State Buckeyes, transferred for the last couple of years to Baton Rouge and Death Valley. But the biggest thing about his progression, and this goes back a couple of years ago in terms of that remarkable season in 2019, is that he was preparing himself for the NFL back then. We had a lot of connects and still do in the Baton Rouge area in terms of ESPN and multiple media members that said, you know, Joe Burrow, even in the walkthroughs and practice, he is mentally preparing himself for the NFL. Like he would, in practice, Scott, wear his socks knee level because that's what he had to do in terms of the NFL not to get fined. So he took every approach to prepare himself for this moment. And even though he got hurt last year, he has this train rolling in Cincinnati. And when you have a signal caller that does not fear anything, I tell you, when the game is on the line, if we're looking at all the young quarterbacks, Joe Burrow can step up at any given moment. He believes in himself, believes in his teammates, makes those players buy in. And in terms of the quarterback level in the NFL, he's head and shoulders where Baker Mayfield should be when you just look at both quarterbacks respectively.
Yeah, you want to throw Baker in there, Daniel Jones, you know, all those guys that were taken 2-3 years ago that should be showing promise right now, or really fruition, not just promise, but, you know, really showing that they can be a playoff quarterback. You know, he is by far. He's the best prospect I saw come out of college, Joe, in a long time. I've been wrong on a lot of guys, right about a lot of some, but when he was at LSU that last year, man, I can't remember another guy that was so dominant over the rest of the competition. That LSU team, listen, they had a lot of great players when we look back on it with the wide receivers and everything. But still, he was phenomenal. I would have been really shocked if he would have turned out to be a bust. So good for Cincinnati. They got their quarterback in the future.
Yeah, now seriously, when you look at this team, if they could pick up this victory against Baltimore legitimately right here, right now, entering Week 16, do you feel that they can go deep into the playoffs because of the running game, as long as Joe Mixon's healthy, because of the way that front seven has come alive? And they're a battle-tested team. I mean, yes, they lost some close ball games. They lost some blowout games to some of the teams within their division. But when push comes to shove, especially on the road, they've shown a pulse, and that's what you need to win a playoff game, and more importantly, to make a deep run in terms of the playoffs to potentially challenge a team like Kansas City.
Yeah, you look at the clubs in the AFC, Joe, it's weird, isn't it? I mean, Cincinnati is 3-4 at home, 5-2 on the road. Patriots, you know, best record in the AFC, 3-4 at home, 6-1 on the road. I don't know what it is about being in Cincinnati that they don't play well, the Bengals. I will say this, you know, as we throw all kind of accolades his way, he has only won 2 in a row 3 times. You know, after wins, Joe Burrow is 3-6. And that's a little – now, they haven't been great. You know, they really fine. This is his first year, basically, as a whole. So, you know, that can be a little skewed. But it is kind of remarkable he's only won 2 in a row 3 times.
To Scott's point, Cincinnati opened up as a 2.5-point favorite on FanDuel. It's up to 3, minus 104. Right now, total set at 45.5. When we come back, we'll talk about Detroit, Atlanta, and Jacksonville and the Jets.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel. We're digging in, getting prepared for week number 16. Going to talk about Detroit and Atlanta in a little bit. We talked about that yesterday, but we're going to dive into this battle in MetLife. Weather on Sunday is going to be a balmy 48 degrees in New Jersey. Low's going to be about 34. That still could be a factor for Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were, Scott, 2.5-point underdogs in this ballgame at the start of the week when they put out the lines. Now they're a 1-point favorite over Zach Wilson and the New York Jets. Total set at 41.5. I brought up last week that when Trevor Lawrence had a clear direction of the program, right, he knew where everything was headed. Now that Urban Meyer is no longer there, he can breathe easy. He can concentrate on his game. And I said, Trevor, get your ass back into the film room, start breaking down coverage, and start acting like you want to be an NFL quarterback, because the performance that we're seeing each and every week, a pedestrian 200 yards, no touchdowns and no interceptions, and a 16 lowly points against Houston, is not going to cut it for the amount of money we're paying you.
Yeah, I mean, how about Jacksonville laying an egg last week, right? I mean, everyone thought, okay, you know, the coaches fired system to perfection. They hated the Urban Meyer, and they lay another egg. Yeah. But Jacksonville, boy, that's a tough game to bet, right? I mean, you're going to lay – not only are you making Jacksonville a favorite, you're making Jacksonville a favorite at home or on the road, rather. You know, but the Jets are just atrocious. You know, I mean, good luck. Flip a coin on that one. Let me ask you this. I'm in my fantasy, and I know this is not necessarily about fantasy, but so you can just take it on who do you think is going to perform better. My quarterback situation sucks. So would you rather have Trevor Lawrence against that god-awful Jets defense, Matt Ryan against the, you know, not that bad Detroit Lions defense, or if Huntley plays for Baltimore, Huntley against Cincinnati? Who do you think does better?
Oh, that's tough because I would say Huntley because obviously the kid stepped up, right? But that Cincinnati defense is solid. They held Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock in check last week. They have a position, you know, they're in a position to obviously make a playoff run. They need this game playing at home. I would say Ryan in a bounce back spot because even though I like Detroit in that matchup, even though they're 0-5 at home, I still can see a lot of points. They moved the football against San Francisco, a very good defense last week. It's not like they didn't. They just couldn't convert in red zone opportunities. So I would lean to Kyle Pitts. I would lean to Cordarrelle Patterson and the old man, Miami Ice, as my best option. I can't tell you to back Trevor Lawrence. I mean, no. You would think that because I would think that he would step up here. Now, we do know that Salah's out, right? He has COVID, so Middleton is taking over. That's not going to have a factor, in my opinion, in this ballgame. I mean, to me, it's meaningless in terms of that matchup. But you saw the Raiders now perform without John Gruden. We saw the Browns basically step up without Stefanski last week. So I'm not concerned about him not being the play caller or calling defensive shots. Yeah, I can't back Lawrence. I can't. I mean, are you going to guarantee me that Trevor Lawrence is going to throw multiple touchdown passes over the New York Jets' defense? The New York Jets' defense this week?
But if he can't beat the Jets, Joe, I mean, then what did he accomplish anything this year outside of just playing football? I mean, is he not gotten any better? You know, first two, three, 4 weeks of the season, okay. But, you know, we're in week 15 here. If you're telling me he hasn't improved at all, and I'm not disagreeing with you. You know, I'm just throwing out there. I mean, geez, you think, you know, he opening day for him was 330 yards and three touchdowns against Houston, albeit in a loss. He's gotten worse.
I know.
His numbers
but think
have
about that
regressed
for a second.
From that point on.
But think about that for a second. Chark played in that game. Marvin Jones stepped up. They were playing from behind for much of the third quarter because that was the game that Tyrod Taylor jumped out. They basically had a three-score first-half lead. They were up, I believe, 17-0 or 17-3 in the first half of that ballgame. And then all of a sudden, when they were down maybe by like 21, he started putting up numbers. Here's the problem, though. Every throw, Scott, for Trevor Lawrence is a checkdown. You ever see him challenge a defense vertically? You ever see a throw deep? Like, I haven't seen that in all the games I've watched. And even in the game last week, he's so afraid to throw the ball down the field. And I don't mean like a 15, 20-yard pass play. I'm talking chucking it 30, 40 yards down the field. He'd rather chuck down to his running backs and tight ends and make the safe throw. And that's why he only has basically 170 yards per game.
You want to hear some ugly numbers from him? I'm looking at him now, Joe. Wow. I know. Listen, I knew he wasn't doing well this year. But
he's terrible.
Forget about the fact he has more interceptions than touchdowns, 14-9. That's okay, the first year. Right. Do you know how many times he's thrown for more than one touchdown in the season? Once. Opening
you mean
day.
In a game? In a game, right?
In a game.
Right.
One time opening day.
Right.
And that's it. Everything else has been one or none. And he had, guess how many, little pop quiz, guess how many, and I would never have gotten this right, guess how many touchdown passes he has in his last seven games combined?
None.
One.
And I believe that came
seven
against.
Seven games, Atlanta.
Was that against Atlanta, right?
Yeah. One, that is just one touchdown in seven games as a starting quarterback?
In the NFL.
Holy crow.
Where basically, like we talk about, every 20-plus throw down the field on 10 pass attempts, you're literally going to get at least seven pass interference calls or a holding.
Right? Yes, yeah, something.
At least 7 to 10. And you're telling me that's my point. And why is it that all these coaches, and again, Nagy, Fangio, Judge, all they're pathetic. Why, when you know about the statistics and you know how these refs call games, as long as you have a halfway decent wide receiver core, and they do, not bad. I mean, you're telling me when Marvin Jones was healthy and those playmakers were healthy, you couldn't just chuck it 40 or 50 times in the game. You had to utilize James Robinson. Like, this guy is the go-to marquee player of your offense. I know he rushed for 1,000 yards last year, but at the end of the day, he's not a home run hitter. We're not talking about Barry Sanders. This guy basically was a has-been in college at the end of the day. He wasn't Power 5 type of running back that led FBS. I mean, you could get 50 other college running backs that could put up 1,000 yards in the NFL this year. I mean, God. I mean, that's why Frank Gore lasted in the league so long. They love has-beens in the NFL.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson, another one. Is he on a roster yet? Yeah, I think he still is actually on a roster. He just didn't dress this past weekend. That's amazing. Those are some horrible numbers. Any other quarterback, whether it's a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounder, whatever the case may be, you give him those numbers and that kind of performance, he is on the bench. He is just absolutely on the bench.
Would you lay it though, Scott? Would you lay the 1 point? It's a fishy line in that sense, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe that they needed a week to kind of adjust to the fact that Urban wasn't there. Last week they were celebrating. Now they're thinking, all right, let's win a football game. So no home field advantage whatsoever for the Jets. How many people are realistically going to be there day after Christmas, right? Nice, decent little weather, but I wouldn't pay $40 to park. You can give me free tickets, and I wouldn't pay the $40 to park like they charge over there to go to that game, right? But
You
do have the hook with Trevor Lawrence to just see him play. I will say that. So it's better than Houston. Houston would probably be the worst draw. But, I can't put American money on the Jets. They're just awful. So I would say give me Jacksonville. Why not?
Jets have 3 wins. Jacksonville has 2. Total is set at 41.5, minus 110 either way. I was on the Jet total with Miami last week. This is probably going to be a dead under. This has like 20-10 written all over it, and you're going to be begging for points, and both teams are going to look like they're non-enthused to be in this matchup. Quick thoughts about the total, Atlanta-Detroit. I think this game goes over the total, 42.5.
I think you're going to have a little garbage time stuff here. Intensity's off for both teams. Yeah, I think there'll be some points in that game.
All right. When we come back, we'll battle and break down that game in Foxborough. Josh Allen and Buffalo, 2-point dogs to take on Mac Jones coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
One of the best matchups this weekend in the AFC takes place in New England. New England got the victory a couple weeks ago on that Monday night. Ran all over the front seven of Matt Milano and the crew, 14-10. Rushed for 222 yards in that battle. Mac Jones only 3 total pass attempts. Now, New England, Scott, only a 2-point favorite over Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. They rebounded in a big way. 14.5-point home favorites over Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. Game was basically 14-8 for much of the third quarter, and then Buffalo did pull away and win that matchup 31-14. Now they're catching 2 points on the road, plus 112 on the money line. 43.5 is the total at minus 110. I tell you what, I know New England got the victory a couple weeks ago, but I don't care. Give me Josh Allen on the road here. I know it's New England. I know it's Bill Belichick. I know it's the defense, but you know what? I don't care. Give me the more explosive offense, in my opinion. I think that's Buffalo. I'm going to take a shot plus 2 with the spread, but I like them plus 112 on the money line this weekend.
Yeah, what scares me about this is I probably asked 4, 5, 6 people, and they all kind of say the same thing, Joe. Same thing. We just can't accept the fact that Buffalo might not be good this year because of the expectations they had coming in. I mean, I got a team that's 7-1, all right, albeit that one loss their last time out. I got a team that's 7-1 at home and beat the same team they're facing 2 weeks ago on the road and kind of shut them down, albeit in bad weather. But I must say, they are seemingly, begging to take Buffalo, right? I mean, or New England, rather, laying only 2.5 at home. You would think they would be a little bit bigger favorites. So I tend to agree with you. I mean, this series has been dominated by the Patriots. 34-3, straight up. Last 37 meetings, 34-3, 22-12-1 against the spread. 14-10, as we talked about this year. But I'm going to hop on the Bills bandwagon as well. I got to see Buffalo lose twice to New England, and I'm not buying into yet to Mac Jones. Not yet. Let me see him win a big time football game where he's got to throw the ball, and I think Buffalo's got to be chomping at the bit to get back at them. So I would think so too.
And I think obviously front seven makes a statement here, right? You ran for 222 on us in the Monday night game. Try to do it again now, Ed Oliver. That front seven, I think, make a statement. Now you know what that means. We're both on Buffalo. Everybody likes Buffalo. New England will probably win this ball game by double digits, right? Extra weeks, couple of days of preparation, well, extra day of preparation with playing on that Saturday night game against Indy. That's obviously a benefit to Bill Belichick. Why are they only a flat two in this ball game? Now, granted, right?
I mean, I was going to say, how about Belichick apologizing? You know, and now we got a new, a new Bill Belichick apologizing to the media for being a dope the other day. So I don't know if that's showing any kind of effects of how long the season's been for Bill. But yeah, you watch New England end up winning the game again. And in the end, we'll say that, you know, that now another Buffalo Bills lost to the New England Patriots. What else is new? We bet the Bills. They're 3-35 now against a team that we put American money on. What are we, nuts?
I know, we're crazy, right? Well, that's what makes us the dynamic duo when you think about it, right? The yin and the yang. I'll tell you this. When I just looked at Buffalo prior, 11-1, plus 1,100 to win the Super Bowl outright. Not bad. Not bad behind the Rams, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, and Kansas City. They get this victory over New England. They're back on track. They're focused. They have about 2 weeks left before the end of the regular season after this game. At 11-1, it's not going to be there in terms of this matchup, right? They get the victory over New England.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to be 11-1 anymore, especially if it's convincing.
Yeah. Definitely not. And here, you know, if you're a wild card team, Joe, especially the Dolphins, believe it or not, you should be rooting for Buffalo to beat New England. Even though New England is 9-5, and you could very easily reason it out as well, the Patriots are going to win the division, so let's kind of eliminate the Buffalo Bills. But if you're a Dolphin fan, here's the thing. Here's the key. Buffalo's not, even if they were to lose and fall to 8-7, they're not losing to the New York Jets or the Atlanta Falcons at home. It's just not happening. You got to be realistic about it. So Buffalo's got to finish up, even with a loss, at 10-7. Well, they'll hold the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Dolphins. The Patriots, on the other hand, if they were to lose, they would fall to 9-6. And then they still have two games left on their schedule. Jacksonville, they'll probably win 9-7. And then the Miami Dolphins. And the Dolphins beat the Patriots earlier in the year, so they would hold the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Patriots. So they'd be able to control their own destiny a little bit. So even though the Patriots are number one in the standings, if you're a Dolphin fan in particular, you really should be rooting on the Buffalo Bills.
Scott, you know how I love to provide value to you, right? Like I put the hook in the water, right? So we're both on Buffalo here, right? And you said that at worst they finished 10-7. At worst, according to the Scott Wetzel system play of the year, right? So FanDuel is giving out holiday cheer here, okay? Because the adjusted win total for the Buffalo Bills right now is 10.5. You want to know what they did here? 10.5 to the over, plus 175, Scotty. 175 for every 100 you're laying out. We both like them against New England.
Yeah, but, you know, what are they getting in the money line right now for this, what did we say it was for the Patriot game, plus 120?
Right now on the money line for the Patriots, they are plus 112.
112, all right. So they have to go 3-0 to hit that over 10.5.
Correct.
Obviously. They gotta,
correct.
So if you put $100 on the Buffalo Bills this week at plus 112, all right, you got 112. If you take that 112 and put $100 on Buffalo the following week, take the winnings from that, and then go take the winnings from that and put it on the last week, I bet it would come out to be more than 175.
I don't know
or
about
it'd be,
that.
It'd be,
because
pretty, it'd be pretty close anyway.
But wait a second. If Atlanta loses to Detroit, right? We both. Right. Well, I like Detroit this week. So and they're 0-5 at home. So you can't say it can't happen. They're going to be double digits over the Jets in Atlanta in back-to-back games. You're going to have to lay at least 2.5, 3 to 1 just to take them on the money line.
Well, I will tell you now, Dallas at minus 10 over Washington is minus 460.
Okay, so
figure Buffalo to be about 10. Yeah, that's how they come up with this stuff. It would be right around plus 175. But, you know, when you play it all out, that 112, the 200 even if they're 10-point favorites the next 2 weeks, you have 112 you won this week. You have your original 100 you're willing to risk. So now you're putting 212 at 4 to 1 on them the following week. You're going to win $50. Now you got 250 or 260 actually to play with at, again, 1 to 4, really. And you win yourself another $50. So it would come out to be a little bit more. You win over $200 if you just bet it week to week versus plus the 175.
All right. I'm just saying you don't have to worry about it, though. Think of it that way.
I know.
Right?
You want to make more money or you want to worry? It's gambling. You're gambling and worrying go hand in hand.
You know me, I want to make money. I'm all about the money. That's all I care about. Right?
So, you love worrying. You love worrying too, though. I know. You can make the bet and you put it aside and, you know, there it is. I do love the fact that FanDuel has these updated over-under totals. I think it's great.
It really is because for the public bettor that, let's just say, wants to throw a couple of dollars on the Buffalo Bills, let's see they're backing them, you could do that. You set it aside. You don't even have to watch it or, you know, you go holiday shopping. You don't even watch the game. I'm sure there's a lot of people like that. Me and you are going to be locked and loaded in these Sunday night matchups. We'll be glued to the television for 8 hours. I got to work as well, that 8 to 12 shift. But how about this battle? They're dead to me, Seattle, even though they got a bad call Tuesday night against Matt Stafford and the crew. Russell Wilson, this guy, Mr. Dangerous, right? I mean, please already. Can you stop making the videos on TikTok? Can you step up? I don't care you broke your finger and you have a screw in it. Put a piece of plastic on it. Wrap some duct tape over it. Just get it done. He's throwing dink and dunks, and he's got DK Metcalf racing down the field. Can't even hit him. This line opened up at 7. It's down to 6.5 against Justin Fields and the Bears. Man, I can't take the Bears. I was on them a little bit in that matchup against Minnesota. I'm going to lean to Seattle here, but I don't love the game. I will say the 43.5 in this particular ball game, I think sails through the total to the over.
Boy, I can't play an over in a Seattle game anymore. I did this past week. Shame on me. Shame on them. Shame on me if it happens twice. They can't score. You just said it. They can't throw the football down the field. I mean, they were predominantly under team, but they had broken out the last 2 weeks. That's why I kind of bought in with the Rams and their offensive weapons back from the COVID. I can't play. I got an unmotivated Seattle team, and I got a Chicago Bears team that doesn't have an offense but has a pretty good defense. I'll give you one. You want odds? How about under 6.5 wins Seattle at plus 210? Are they going to go 2-1 against Chicago, Detroit, and Arizona? Which I know on the surface, Joe, is like, yeah, they'll beat Chicago and Detroit both at home. But I could easily see them losing one of these next two games. They're playing for nothing. Maybe they shut Russell Wilson down. They could obviously lose to Arizona to close out the regular season. Plus 210? I kind of like that. I think they can lose the next 2 weeks. This dopey Lions team is playing for real. So,
Jared Goff is channeling his days in Cal Berkeley with Sonny Dykes. All of a sudden, he thinks he's playing Air Force in the bowl game, the way Jared Goff is playing. I can't do that. I'm sitting on a Seattle ticket at 24-1 for them to make the playoffs. You know that. So,
that's fun.
No,
that's fun.
Well, you know, I did it a week and a half ago. You know that. I did it on the show. But at the end of the day, I can't do that, you know, because I could still see DK playing here against a suspect defense in terms of the Bears. I could see DK break it out. Who's going to get him the ball, though? That's the other question. They utilized Rashad Penny for basically a quarter, never went back to him, and that's why this offense has sputtered in the last matchup. When we come back, we'll talk about Denver and Las Vegas. Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Ripping down the action for week number 16, talked about Buffalo and New England, talked about some of the other marquee matchups, Scott. Well, you left off talking about Russell Wilson, and before we transition, I did want to just bring up, we talked about it in the break, potential for him to move to the New York Giants with Daniel Jones now shut down for the rest of the year. Would the Giants pull the trigger on a potential trade like that? He said he wanted to go to New York. I think it's a good fit, but at the end of the day, salary cap, and what do the Giants get in terms of, or more importantly, give up in return to get one of the best quarterbacks in the NFC?
What do you think? You got, you know, Daniel Jones would be at the top, right? Not that Seattle would necessarily want him, but the Giants don't need him. So, you know, you would throw that. You'd be willing to offer. Let's put it this way. I'm willing to offer you Seattle. Daniel Jones, I'll even give you Saquon Barkley, believe it or not. He's done. And you watch him play, he's got nothing. So you want Saquon, I'll give you Saquon, and I'll give you, realistically, I'll try and get it with two first round draft choices and maybe a number two, but ultimately I'd probably give him three first round draft choices and say, would that get it done?
I think it would. I mean, you kidding me? I mean, if Pete Carroll's still there, he'd take that in a heartbeat. I mean, you have right. Geno Smith there right now. I mean, that's who right. you have backing up. I mean, Daniel Jones, young quarterback, maybe you could groom him. I mean, he's got one of the most athletic, pure wide receivers in DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. You can potentially add someone else. I'd say, you know what? You want Barkley? Throw Evan Ingram, Stonehands in there. Throw, who do you want? Sterling Shepard, right? You ever watch Necessary Roughness back in the day with Scott Bakula? Do not throw the ball to Stonehands. That's Evan Ingram. It's like, oh, God, he threw it to Ingram. You never know what you're going to get out of Evan Ingram week to week. So we'll see. I mean, you know, obviously Jones isn't the answer. Whether Gettle, I mean, listen, if I'm management and I'm Mara, you know what? Gettleman, goodbye. Joe Judge, goodbye. Coach somewhere in North Jersey at a high school team back in North Bergen there. He's such a tough guy at the end of the day. He's so tough, but he can't throw the ball more than 20 yards down the field. He's so tough, but he's scared to do that with his offensive play calls. So I love these guys. Yeah, making a lot of plays. You're making a lot of plays out of your ass. Unbelievable with these coaches. All right, let's talk about another winner, Vic Fangio and the crew. They're laying one against Las Vegas this week. Derek Carr and the crew stepped up. Gutty win on the road in the dog pound. I tell you, this team at least comes to play. I know they got blown out against Kansas City, but you know what? As long as Carr's in there, I think they have a shot going up against Denver. We have to see if Bridgewater's cleared to play, even if he is. Give me the Raiders outright here. They're minus 104 on the money line. Total set at 41.5. Ooh, I'd say Raiders and the under here, just because Fangio, in his stupid head, actually believes that he can go to the playoffs, so he'll run 80 times in this ballgame.
obviously not a big Fangio, Vic Fangio fan. Listen, it wouldn't matter one way or the other with Teddy Bridgewater. He's a guy I think everybody roots for, but ultimately I think, you know, Denver's finding out what everyone else has found out. He's really just not that good of a quarterback in the NFL. You know, he might be good enough to be a backup and or be on even a 500 team, but, you know, he's not the answer. And you know what? Neither is Drew Lock. Good gravy. That final drive when he was, like, just sitting around for 30 seconds, not calling a play with the time clicking, I can't put money on him. So Vegas is the one. They've dominated this series. 5-1 straight up their last six. So I think they win the football game, and I think they cover the spread. I think Denver's in a lot of trouble. There's too much. And that Denver team, I tell you, they're a quarterback away, or at least seemingly, Joe, because as we discussed the other day, his first-round draft choice is up and down that roster on offense. The wide receivers are all first-rounders. Melvin Gordon, you gave a lot of money to. He's pretty good. I mean, they should be better than what they got a rock-solid defense, right? I mean, what's missing? It's the quarterback. It's, you know, John Elway has done a lousy job outside of Peyton Manning of getting a quarterback in Denver. striking out every single time he turns around, and he seemingly has struck out again with Teddy Bridgewater. So, yeah, give me the Raiders, who are showing more guts, believe it or not, than the Broncos.
And think about it. This was the game right after Gruden was fired. They were catching five on the road in Mile High, and they abused him. Right, yeah. They jumped out to basically a 17-point second-half lead, held on for a 10-point victory, 34-24. That game sailed through the 44.5 total. Now you got 41.5 minus 110 either way. So you want to take a shot on the Raiders to give me 1 point? You're minus 114 on FanDuel. Scott and I both like Derek Carr and the crew in that ballgame. Money coming in on Pittsburgh. A lot of money coming in on Pittsburgh right now when you look at it, Scott. This line was basically 10 when they put the line out at the start of the week. Now 7.5 in Arrowhead to take on Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Minus 110 either way. Total is set at 44.5. Minus 110 either way on the total as well. But I'll tell you what, I like Pittsburgh maybe at 9.5 just because, you know, it is Pittsburgh. I know Big Ben shot. They did get a gutty win, but I like the total. And at the end of the day, I know it's the defense that has stepped up for Kansas City and shut down opposing offenses, but I think it's points aplenty. 44.5 to me is way too light for this matchup. I'm going over.
All right. I like Kansas City, even though Pittsburgh's got some solid underdog trends. They really do. 13-6 rather as a road dog, 13-5 overall as a dog. They've had a couple of times at home now as underdogs. Kansas City's covered the last couple of games, so I won't give you their awful against the spread numbers. You could generally throw those out because they have. Here's the one, Mark Lawrence special. KC 24-3 straight up. 24-3 their final 10 games of the regular season the last 3 years.
So then why is the line going down? It's going down 3 points. Isn't that fishy? Did I lose him? Scotty? Scotty Uch. Scott, I don't know if Scott got a little winded there, but Kansas City, 7.5-point favorites over Big Ben and the crew. He mentioned the trends for the Kansas City Chiefs in terms of Mark Lawrence putting out great information. Total is set at 44.5. I like the over here. If you have Tyreek Hill, you have Kelsey, you saw that Pat Mahomes is more comfortable in the offense. You have Darrell Williams stepping up in terms of the running back position. The short to intermediate passing game in terms of checkdowns, that's huge. And not only that, but if you're Pittsburgh in this matchup, it's one thing to go toe-to-toe maybe with Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans in this ballgame. It's another thing to do the same type of game plan against Pat Mahomes in this Kansas City offense. That's the biggest thing right now when you look at the difference between last week's performance against Tennessee, a one-dimensional offense that doesn't have a running game. They don't have the wideouts. They didn't have the big play capability that Pat Mahomes and the crew have. This game can maybe mirror what we saw a couple weeks ago in terms of the Minnesota game, where obviously, Minnesota jumped out to a 29-0 lead, but in the second half, Pittsburgh did move the football through the air, so we might have both offenses in rhythm, even though it leans right now to maybe a defensive battle. So you want to give me 44.5 in this matchup? I'll take my shot over Pittsburgh and Kansas City. We have a rematch, Dallas and Washington. We talked about it earlier in terms of the intro. Taylor Heinicke back for the Washington football team. He's off the COVID list. Did play in that ball game a couple weeks ago where they were catching 6.5 points at home. Dallas opened up an 18-0 lead, held on for the 27-20 victory over the Dallas Cowboys. Total in this ball game is set at 47, minus 110 either way. Dallas, the favorite on FanDuel, minus 106. They are a minus 460 on the money line. Washington plus 360. Now, Garrett Gilbert played fairly well for a quarter or two against Philadelphia. This is a different animal. What Micah Parsons and that defense, Trayvon Diggs stepping up. They're opportunistic. They get after it in terms of the quarterback position. Taylor Heinicke in the first meeting did have a critical turnover. That really changed the complexity and momentum of that ballgame. But I have to be honest with you. It's a rivalry. I know Dallas stepped up against an undermanned New York Giant team, but you want to give me 10 points with the Washington football team in this type of atmosphere, I'll take my shot. And not only that, but plus 360 on the money line. Yeah, you know what? I think it's live in this ballgame. At the end of the day, I know Dallas is the better team. I think Dallas is a Super Bowl contender. I talked about it that at 12-1 right here, right now, they are a contender. Scotty, I know I upset you with that comment, but at the end of the day...
Don't ever say that again.
We're talking... I was just telling everyone in terms of this breakdown, Dallas and Washington. You know, plus 360 in a rematch type of atmosphere. They got this victory last year on Thanksgiving with Antonio Gibson and the crew. I know it's a different team. But in a rivalry type of game, even though Dallas is the better team, I'm taking Washington plus the 10 points and maybe plus 360 on the money line here.
Yeah, they announced today that Heinicke should be able to play for Washington, so that's good news. I would have thought that line would have dropped down a point or two because that is a big number. Dallas, though, I got to tell you what, Joe, that as much as a public team as Dallas is, boy, their against the spread numbers are phenomenal. 11-1 straight up, 10-2 against the spread at home against the NFC East. They're on a 14-4 against the spread run. Now, I think that was like 8 or 9-0 at one point, but still, you know, that's a pretty solid streak. So Sunday night game, you know, life on the line for Washington. Their quarterback is back. You know, McLaren's there, you know. I would take the double digit. It does seem a bit strange. And Dallas is one of those teams that seemingly, you know, is more comfortable on the road than they are at home, even though I just gave you those numbers about them playing at home. But 6-2 on the road, 4-2 at home, not too bad, but really a lot of success on the road. So I would take the 10 points for sure.
Dallas is like Notre Dame in college football. They're a public team, but you either love them or hate them, right? So it sort of evens it out in terms of the money that they don't get, oh, just Dallas money. They get betting the other side because people hate Dak. People hate Jerry Jones. Yeah. So that's why, you know, you see it and you say, oh, yeah, Dallas is America's team. You know, the public loves betting on Dallas. Not necessarily. And that's why sometimes you get value with the Cowboys. There were a lot of people a couple weeks ago in this first matchup, a lot of sharps, like we say, that were back in Washington and Taylor Heinicke in that matchup.
Yeah. I know I did. I thought they were going to win. I thought that was the, you know, Washington going on the run that they did last year. And they
I said
the
sharp,
last few
Scotty.
Games. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm kidding. I'm only kidding.
It's the dulls in my house, not the sharps. So, but, you know, Dallas, you know, they've owned this division. You know, I know they haven't, like, had a repeat in about 15 years now. But that said, you know, Dallas, for the most part, has been the best team, right? And they're 4-0 in the division, 8-1 in the conference as well are the Cowgirls. So this is their chance to kind of put the foot to the pedal and really kind of – and you look at their schedule the rest of the way. I don't know what FanDuel's over-under total is, but Arizona after this, but at home, and then Philadelphia. I'm betting FanDuel. I'll check here real quickly.
11.5 at minus 250 to the over.
Oof. So they're going to go 2-1. I would take, I'm not late to minus 250, but I think they'll get
too rich for your blood.
Yeah,
if you want to take a shot on the under 11.5 on FanDuel, plus 210. When Scott and I come back, we'll wrap it up with some weekly specials. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Wrapping up today's show, and tomorrow we'll have all the best bets for week number 16, so tune in. But we have some weekly specials that we didn't get through. We left off yesterday with Mark Andrews and Ja'Marr Chase. Baltimore-Cincinnati, you brought up Huntley to start for your fantasy team. Well, both players to combine for 175-plus in this matchup, plus 200, Scotty.
I love that one, Joe. Especially... because Chase didn't have anything. He literally had one reception for like 7 yards this past week against Denver. And what are the chances? I'll buy into that, you know, the do theory that made Vegas famous. What are the chances of this guy being shut down back-to-back weeks? That Ravens secondary is a mess to begin with. So I'm pretty confident at home he's getting his. And Mark Andrews, boy, I tell you what, you could have Kelce and you could have Kittle and everyone else. They're all good, but Mark Andrews is turning into the best tight end in the NFL. He is phenomenal. So I don't know how this doesn't get to 175. Both these guys can put up 100 points, let alone 175 together. So you want to, and you're giving me over 2-1 odds on that one? Well, I think that's one of the best ones on that board.
Here's one that I do like. Justin Herbert, 50-plus completion, plus 350. Not bad when you think about it. Now, coming off the loss, obviously, to Kansas City, right? So he's going to be motivated.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I mean, he has the weapons. 50-plus, they're playing Houston in a dome.
In a
perfect
dome.
Environment.
Yeah.
Telling me Williams, you're telling me Keenan Allen can't break out for a 50-plus reception?
Yeah, I would think so, right? But I will tell you, his longest reception, he's got two receptions over 50 yards. 53 against Pittsburgh, 59 against the Giants. But he's got a 47-yarder against the Bengals. I would like that, though, just because it's indoors and it's Houston.
And it's Herbert, right? Obviously
Herbert,
coming off a disappointing loss. So
right. We'll
see. Like I said, we'll be here tomorrow for Scott Wetzel, our great producer, Andrew Torres. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've